Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
On that note, let's talk about sorrow. How's that for a transition? But that really is where the gospel reading is pushing us today, is to talk about sorrow. Sorrow is a natural part of life. If you have an attachment to anything, it can cause you sorrow. In fact, the only way to avoid ever feeling sorrow is to never care about anyone or anything, because anyone or anything can be taken away and cause sorrow. But to go through life without caring about anyone or caring about anything, that would be a terrible way to live. So in this life, we are bound to feel sorrow. And I want you to think about one of those times which, when you have felt sorrow, while we talk about the disciples' sorrow as well as our own sorrow in this life. What is it that causes you sorrow? Perhaps it is worldly things, whether it be suffering, either physical suffering or emotional suffering or mental suffering, perhaps suffering through yet another political cycle. Perhaps it is coveting, the desire for possessions, the desire for a new and better job, the desire for a new and better car. The desire for someone else's possessions can cause sorrow. What perhaps it is the struggle to make ends meet which causes you sorrow and grief. Maybe it is a damaged relationship, whether with a friend, a neighbor, a family member. Perhaps it is sickness that leads to a loss of mobility, loss of memory, loss of ability. Maybe it is physical ailments which cause suffering. Maybe it is sin and the consequences of sin which cause sorrow for you. A man cheats on his wife and gives her an STD. Someone drives drunk and causes a tragic car accident. Perhaps it is an alcohol addiction, a drug addiction, gambling addiction, porn addiction. Any addiction will inevitably lead to sorrow. Perhaps death causes sorrow. Death causes major sorrow, especially when it happens under tragic circumstances. A husband leaves his wife a widow, whether it's been 2 months or 2 years or 20 years, that causes sorrow. Perhaps parents who pass away and leave young children as orphans causes sorrow, not only for them, but for the rest of the family. Death ends a promising young life before it could really get going, and that causes sorrow for the family. We do indeed suffer a great deal of sorrow in this life, something with which the disciples are intimately familiar in our gospel reading today from John chapter 16. Jesus tells them, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." And then again, he says, "Truly I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful." The disciples are, in fact, in a pretty bad place right here in this reading from John 16. They are in Jerusalem. And where is Jerusalem but the center of the Jewish worship, which is where, who else, the Pharisees, the Sadducees are all concentrated. And who doesn't like Jesus? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the time, all of whom are in Jerusalem for the Passover, and all of whom have a grudge. And so here the disciples are following Jesus, and the chief priests hate Jesus with a vengeance. And so here they are in Jerusalem, which is the center of the priest's power and the center of a Roman garrison, which has helpfully been bolstered for the upcoming religious festival. And then Jesus starts talking about leaving them. They've got to be feeling a lot of mixed emotions. Fear, sorrow. Here Jesus is talking about leaving them alone in the middle of their enemy's stronghold. And yet Jesus promises that their sorrow will turn to joy. He says it is to their advantage that he should leave. He promises that if he leaves, he will send them the Holy Spirit. They will be sad when it happens, but the world will be happy. He says that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. But this won't last for long. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. And so sure enough, this does happen. Jesus does in fact leave them, as we've talked about so much over the last month since Easter. He is betrayed to the chief priests. The chief priests hand him over to Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate executes him, knowing full well that Jesus is innocent, and the world rejoices because this man who said that he was God is dead. This man with his message, which overturned the temple worship, is dead. This man with his completely, radically new message is dead. The world rejoices, and the disciples cower in fear in their hiding in an upper room with the door locked for fear of the Jews, afraid that any minute the chief priests, soldiers are going to burst through, and they will all join Jesus in that tomb. But that only lasts about 3 days. It is only 3 days later when Mary and the other women who had followed with them from Galilee go down to the tomb where they laid Jesus' body, and they make a revolutionary discovery that Jesus is risen. He is not in the grave anymore. He is alive. They don't believe it at first. The disciples don't believe it at first, but pretty soon they can't help but believe, because Jesus stands there in their midst and says, "Peace be with you." And at that moment, their sorrow turns to joy. Though the disciples experienced that short-term sorrow of Jesus' death, they received long-term joy, the same joy to which we can look forward as well. Now, when Jesus talks about giving us joy, he does, in fact, give us joy in this world. God does indeed protect and preserve us all through our earthly life. He gives us everything we need. He defends us from danger and defends us from evil. He guards us so that we cannot be tempted beyond our limits. He gives us joy in this life. Some of these joys come from our experience of God's creation, whether it is the joy of a child's laugh, the joy of a sunrise, the joy of a full harvest. Some of these joys also come from fulfilling relationships, the joy of being surrounded by loved ones. There are hobbies and other activities which can give you a sense of joy. All of these things are a gift from God. But all of these things will eventually pass away. And so our future joy is even greater than that. The future joy of the new life which God promises us through our baptism, which we receive a foretaste of in the Lord's Supper, which we read about in our epistle reading from Revelation 21, where John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That is the joy to which we look forward. Our present-day sorrow has been replaced by our confidence in God and our confidence in the future which he has prepared for us. For the disciples who did not understand what was going to happen, the 3 days between Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection must have been torture. The level of sorrow and grief must have been unbearable. What were they to do? The people around them were dancing and rejoicing while the disciples mourned for a close friend and teacher. When the women returned from the tomb, when they themselves saw him alive and in person, they could not help but be filled with joy. Christ is risen! He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And we also rejoice with them because our crucified Savior is dead no more. He has risen from the grave to put an end to death and banish sorrow. Even though our sorrow is not taken away completely in this life, it is still tinged with an unquenchable joy because we know that Christ has risen to banish all sorrow. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto the joy of life everlasting. Amen.